Good evening. Now is it on? There we go. Hey, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Deuteronomy chapter 29. If you need a Bible, lift up your hands and ushers will stick a Bible in that hand and you can read and follow along. Deuteronomy chapter 29, while you're turning there, Monday, the Christmas Eve services are at 3 and 5 p.m. and you can still get the invitations, invite some people out for that. So those are on the counter there at the information center. Also have the Bible schedule, reading through the Bible in a year. You can grab one of those and make that commitment this year. That's always a great thing. And here's the cool thing. Once you do it one year, you're kind of hooked. And then you got a good habit, and it's just great. So that stuff is there. We have the Israel tour information out there also, if you're interested in that. All right? Okay. I'm just seeing if you guys, okay. We can dialogue a little bit. It's all right. You can be loud in church. It's okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we just thank you we can be here. And God, as we read about Israel and they're getting ready, Lord, we've been looking for a while. They're right there. They're going in. And Lord, as Moses begins to wrap this whole thing up for them and send them on their way, I just, Lord, I thank you of what a great picture it is of our relationship with you. And God, your intense love for this world. And I just pray that we would see and understand, God, that your heart's desire is for us to be made into and molded into your image and into the men and women of God that can, Lord, affect this world, that can make a difference. So we do pray we would have ears to hear tonight. God, and our lives would be enriched and changed because we've been here. In Jesus' name, amen. Some people in this section, some of the theologians, say that this is now another covenant that God is making. I'm not one of those. There's some who divide up the covenants in many details, and they have the Noahic covenant, the Adamic, well, before that, the Adamic covenant, the Noahic covenant, they have the Mosaic covenant, the Moses covenant, then they have this one they call the Palestinian covenant, and then they have the Davidic covenant, and then they have the covenant of the covenant, and then another covenant, and then they have the new covenant. So, some are that way, and I think it divides it up too much. I've always believed that the covenant that God made with Moses that we've been looking at for a while is part and parcel of this, and that covenant's all about the land. And I don't think it divides up. Now, this is going to be specifically about staying in the land and allowing them to stay in the land, but that's kind of been a given all along. Remember, Moses is rehearsing. And he's been repeating stuff and repeating and repeating. And sometimes I know even as we read our Bibles, we get tired of God repeating. But here's something I know. As Christians, we often forget what we should know and remember what we should forget. And God has to repeat, and we need it. It's good for us. It's healthy for us that he does that. So again, as we look at this, I'm kind of not in that camp trying to divide it way up and divide it in small little sections. I believe that Moses is giving that kind of last, you guys got to do it. You know, this is kind of the hoorah, you're going in. Now, he's going to sign off. He's going to spend a couple chapters really signing off. But this is kind of the last little bit about God and their relationship with God. So he says here in verse 1 of chapter 29, these are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb or Sinai. Now Moses called all Israel and said to them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all of his servants, and to all of his land. So listen, he's saying this is a covenant, or this is part of that. Add it on to the other one. It's, you know, with the other one. And then he says, you have seen what God has done. And he's going to rehearse some of that. And I think this is important because a lot of us, we will say, if God would only, then I would fill in the blank, right? If God would only speak to me audibly, if God would send me a DVD, I would do it. If God would, you know, give me a sign, if God would do, and we give all of these things, and you know what? All of that is bogus. Because if you're not willing to follow God by faith, sight is not going to last long. As a matter of fact, we've seen it with Israel already. They have had plenty. He just said, look at all the signs and wonders I did. Look at all of the things I did. And then he says this in verse 3. He says, the great trials which your eyes have seen not against then, and then the signs and those great wonders, yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. He's saying, yeah, you're looking at it, but it's not penetrating. It's not going in. You know, we can see something and it doesn't compute. It doesn't go in. And God says, look at all that you've seen. Look at all that I've done in the land of Egypt. Everything you went through. When I think of, I don't know about you guys, but man, if I saw an ocean split apart and I walked through on dry ground, I think that might make a believer out of me. And we all nod our heads, don't we? Because we are so much better than Israel. You see, once again, God's got to work in the heart. It's not just what you see. It's not just the things. It's the issue of the heart. And then he says this. This is one of my favorite parts of Deuteronomy. I love chapter 29. He goes, and I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. Now think about that, man. 40 years. And here's what we would do instead of thanking God that they didn't wear out for 40 years, we would be complaining that they're out of style. Why do I have to wear these same clothes for 40 years? Everybody else has new clothes, right? I mean, that's our hearts. You'd be in the middle of God doing something phenomenal, we're going, I don't like the clothes. I need a new outfit. How come I have to wear these things that are so old? God says, listen, it didn't, and then he says, you didn't eat. He says, bread. He's not saying you didn't eat, but verse 6, you have not eaten bread nor drunk wine or similar drink that you may know that I'm the Lord your God. Listen, God says, I kept you. I protected you. I took care of you physically. I took care of your, you know, your nourishment. I did all of that for 40 years. And yet, even after God does that, they're kind of, well, I'm not so sure. Well, you know, this and this, and just kind of like us, you get real fickle. And so the Lord lays that out for them, and then he says, and verse 7, when you came to this place where they're at now, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us to battle, and we conquered them. We took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. Listen, man, Moses is going, think about what happened. Think about what we've been through as a group. And sometimes when you go through it as a group, it helps, right? And think about what we've seen. Think about the things that we saw coming out of Egypt. Think about the miracles. Think about the 40 years. Think about even when we got here, how we defeated kingdoms that we shouldn't have been able to defeat. Listen, these guys were not army people. They weren't warriors. They weren't trained. They're a bunch of ragtag slaves who have been walking around in circles for 40 years. They run into two kingdoms and they conquer them. And he goes, we gave you the land. And so here's what he says. Because all of that's true, then you keep the words of this covenant. You see, God has proven his faithfulness to you. He's proven he's delivered you. He's put you in a place. And here's an interesting thing about Israel. They didn't have to obey to get in the place. They were in the place so they could obey. Does that make sense? It's the same as us as Christians. I think way too many times we imply to people that they got to get all cleaned up to come to Jesus. You know, if you get all cleaned up, Jesus will love you. Hey, if we could clean ourselves up, we wouldn't need Jesus, would we? No, you come to Jesus and let him do that work and let him change you and let him refine you. So listen, he says, keep these words. Let's do this. And you know, when I read that, I read the first 9 verses and I'm going, woohoo, let's go. And you're kind of in that mood and you want to go in and get the land, don't you? You want to go with them. You want to be part of that. And You see, I believe God has that same desire for us in our relationship with Him and as we walk with Him. His heart's desire is that it would be a relationship brought out of what He's done for us, and there would be that desire and that love to obey Him. And that love of His word and that love of His law, just like David wrote. So now in verse 10, he says, he's talking to them, all of you stand today before the Lord your God, your leaders and your tribes and your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones and your wives, also the stranger who is in your camp, from the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water, that you may enter into the covenant with the Lord your God and into His oath which the Lord your God makes with you today, that He may establish you today as a people for Himself, that He may be God to you, just as He's spoken and just as He has sworn to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Moses, notice at this time, it's not just leaders, although the leaders are there. I think the leaders need to take that step. They need to be the ones going in first, but it's not just the leaders. It's everybody, every man, every woman, every child. They're all there getting this, this quote speech from Moses or this covenant to agree. And they need to make that, covenant in their hearts. It doesn't do any good to write it on stone. Doesn't do any good for somebody to give you a list. Here's what you need to do. We've talked about it before in marriage. Wouldn't it be a drag if every time, every morning your spouse woke up and gave you a list? If you really love me, this is what you're going to do. Some of you are going, I get that. No, you get a list of things to do, but not to prove your love. You just have to do things because there's things to do. I'm not talking about that. But it'd be a drag, wouldn't it? That'd be horrible. And God says, listen, get this in your heart. Hide this in your heart. And it's not just for the leaders, although they need to be there. It's not just for the elders, although they need to be there. It's not just for the men, although they need to be there. It's for the women and the children. And did you notice that little strange part in there? It's even for the strangers who are in your midst. Listen, you're going into this land. This is a whole new thing. This is a whole different thing. And this is how you're to live. This is what you're going to do. Now, here's the crazy thing. Now God is going to lay this out very specifically once again. And here's what He's going to say. If you do these things, you're going to be blessed. If you do these things, you're going to be cursed. And every time I read this, I think, that's not a real hard decision. I mean, most of us, I don't think, want to live lives that are train wrecks and that are torn up and that are miserable. And we go through things and God says, listen, follow me. Here's the cool thing. God really knows what He's doing. He's got this down. So He tells them, this is what you need to do. Now check this out. Verse 14, I make this covenant and this oath, not with you alone, listen what He says, but with Him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as Him who is not here with us today. Here's what the Lord's saying. It's not just Israel present, it's Israel future. It's your descendants, it's future generations. And listen, things that really matter will impact not just the present, but they'll impact generations down the road. And we need to understand that. I think just, you know, just worldly and governmentally speaking, there was a contract, there was a constitution that affected us, that was signed. And God's saying, listen, this is not just for you. This is for generation after generation after generation, which gives us the responsibility to pass it on to the next generation. That idea of faith and following God. So listen, He says, it's with Him who's not here. And in verse 4, for you know that we dwelt, and I kind of like this. I think this is actually Moses talking about we dwelt, but I kind of like the idea. Also, it's kind of God saying we dwelt. You know, God was with them. Now, I understand Moses is speaking, but I kind of like in my mind to think and back up there when he says we conquered these different kingdoms. It's like God is on their side. And listen, so we dwelt in verse 16, for you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt and that we came through the nations which you passed by, and you saw their abominations and their idols, which were among them, wood and stone and silver and gold, so that there may not be among you a man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. Listen, he says, you walked through and you saw their gods did them no good. Their gods were useless. The things they went after were just destroying them. And he says, you saw that, and here's what God's saying. I want to make sure there's not even a root of that within us. We've got to get that out of there. I don't think he's just talking about bitterness as far as attitude, although we know that's true. We can have bitterness. If we have bitterness, our relationship with the Lord is not going to bring fruit. But he's talking about, listen, he's talking about staying away from those things that we know will destroy us. And other gods, and listen, we're tempted in our generation with all kinds of gods. Yeah, they're not little idols hanging around, but there's all kinds of gods drawing and vying for our hearts and trying to pull us away. And God says, listen, you were delivered out of that. If you're born again tonight, you were brought from that, and why would you want to go back to it? And God's saying, you saw, you could see the destruction. Why on earth would you even want to bring that in even a little bit? And then verse 19, and so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse that he blesses himself in his heart saying, I shall have peace even though I follow the dictates of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. Listen, as Moses is speaking here, he's going, don't ever say, I'm going to follow my heart. People say that a lot, don't they? Just follow your heart. I love that, you know, and it's like the kumbaya thing, right? Just follow your heart and let's all sit around and sing kumbaya. Here God says, you don't want to follow your heart. Why does he say that? Oh, Jeremiah 17, we talk about it frequently. The heart is deceitful above all things. You know, I think that's something. It's probably a good scripture just to memorize, just even the first part of it, that you understand that. The heart is deceitful above all things, Jeremiah says. And then he says, and desperately wicked, who can know it? Now listen, that's not me. That's not my opinion. That's what God says. And if God says our heart is desperately wicked, those of you sitting here tonight are going, I don't think so. Now you need to take that up with God. Because he's the one who says it. And we need to understand it. And listen, once we begin to understand that, here's what he's saying, man. Don't be fooled by your emotions. Be careful. Watch out. Most of us know that from experience, don't we? Have you ever made a bad decision when you were very emotional? We're all laughing. Have you ever made a good decision when you were very emotional? No. That's why we need to understand. That's not a time, especially, to make life-changing decisions because it's going to cost you. Listen, he says a heart. And then, I always like verse 10 in that. He says, who can know it? Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. Listen, who can know your heart? God. God knows your heart, and you need to open up your heart to him. And I love it here in Deuteronomy 29 where he says, listen, he says, don't say that all shall have peace even though I follow the dictates of my heart. I love the way God says, as though a drunkard could be included with a sober. Listen, he goes, it's two opposite things. You can't do that. Don't come to me and say, I can do this. It's okay because my heart says so when my word is very clear that you shouldn't do it. Don't do it. What's the matter with you? It doesn't make sense. It's ridiculous. Oh, and then one more warning. Verse 20. The Lord would not spare him, for then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against him, and every curse that is written in this book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. So, now Moses is changing from, let's go in the land, let's remember what happened, to, if you choose to follow your heart, if you choose to go that direction, here's what he's saying. Then every curse that is written in this book, I don't think he's talking about the entire Bible. I think he's talking about Deuteronomy. We read those last week, if you were here, right? Every curse is going to come upon him. Here's what God says. If you choose not to obey me, you're going to suffer the consequences. Period. Now, I believe it's a little bit more out for Israel, and maybe even saying this, maybe a little bit more real than it is for some of us. Because I know in my life, I haven't always suffered severe consequences for my sin. God is merciful and God is gracious and God is good. If I suffered all the consequences I deserve, I would be gone, like all of you. But listen, here's what he says. He says, that's going to happen to you. He's talking to this group of people. Remember, they're going into the land, and he's talking to them, and he's going, listen, if you choose not to obey and you choose to go contrary to my word, this is what's going to happen to you. Now, he gets pretty explicit here. He says in verse 21, and the Lord would separate him from the tribes of Israel for adversity according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law, so that the coming generation of your children who rise up after you and the foreigner who comes from a far land would say when they see the plagues of the land and the sickness which the Lord has laid on it, the whole land is brimstone, salt, and burning. It's not sown, nor does it bear, nor does any grass grow there, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and his wrath. All nations would say, why has the Lord done this to the land? What does the heart, what does the heat of this anger mean? Here's what he's saying. When you look at Israel, you're going to see destruction. And he compares it to Sodom and Gomorrah. When we've gone to Israel and we go down by the Dead Sea, when it is just like barren, and you look at that and you go, yuck. Well, there was a time where the whole nation looked like that. Until just recently, it was not very appealing at all. Oh, Israel's come in and done some major changes and done some phenomenal things. They think because they're really good at agriculture. It's because they've got a really great God. And see, that makes me question whether this is the real in-gathering or not. Because they're not giving God the glory right now. They're saying it's us. And so listen, a lot of people go, and someone asked me just a couple weeks ago, could Israel be scattered again? Absolutely they could. And some of you are going, no, the world's ending tomorrow. I don't know what time of day the world is supposed to end on the 21st, but I'm going to tell you something. It's about 4 in the afternoon in New Zealand on the 21st, and last time I checked, they were still on the planet. So I don't know how all that works. I don't know if it's the 21st in a Mayan calendar in our hemisphere or exactly what's going on, but I plan on teaching Saturday and Sunday. So but listen, as he's talking here, he says to them, you're going to be scattered, and generations are going to look at that land and they're going to go, what on earth did these people do? Do you get it? They're going to see, listen, Israel is going to be a testimony no matter what. And that's the crazy thing. It's a crazy thing about our lives. It's a crazy thing about the way we represent God. We're going to be a testimony no matter what because God is going to work his plan. And God is going to bring to fruition his plan. And we need to understand that. And I don't know about you, but I kind of want to be on the blessing side of it, not on the cursing side of it. I don't want God to make a curse out of me so someone can say, I don't want to be that. So as we're looking here, he's saying, People are going to look. Generations are going to ask. And the nations are going to say, why did the Lord do this? What does it mean? Verse 25, then people would say, because they have forgotten the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers. Why did it happen? Because they forgot the covenant. Why did they forget the covenant? Not that it's not been repeated, right? It's been repeated over and over and over and over. Why did they forget it? The heart. I'm just going to follow my heart. I know what the Bible says. Do you know how many people I have counseled that have told me that? I know what the Bible says, but I have to follow my heart. Well, you're going to suffer the consequences. You know, I'm kind of the blunt guy around here. Well, Pastor Jack's pretty blunt too. So is Pastor Joe and Pastor Anthony. The girls in the office are pretty nice. But when people tell me that, I tell them, you can go do that. Listen, you got the freedom to do that. But you're going to suffer the consequences. And some of us shaking our head have been down that road way too many times. So listen, he says, people are going to say, because they forgot their covenant, they've forsaken the covenant of the Lord, their God, of their fathers, going on in verse 25, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt, for they went and they served other gods, and they worshiped them, gods that they did not know, and that he had not given them. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against this land to bring on it every curse that is written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger, in wrath, and in great indignation, and cast them into another land as it is to this day. Listen, Israel has been uprooted several times. In history, it's, you know, in 586 BC, they were taken out of there by Babylon because they forgot the Lord their God. Only a few went back. Listen, that wasn't even, I don't even believe Israel's ever been totally regathered. A few went back. And then in 70 AD, because they rejected the Messiah, they were taken out again. And then they're back in since 1948. Things are happening. Hey, could this be the regathering? It could be. I'm amazed that it's becoming that more and more and more and more Jews are coming back into Israel. I remember when I first got saved, there were more Jews in New York City than there were in Israel. That's flip-flop now. They're getting in. They're coming back. Is it God regathering them? I'm not sure, because they're not giving him glory yet. But I believe what we're going to see in the next chapter, listen, we're not going to leave it off here. Here's the cool thing, is Moses says, this is what's going to happen. And then he goes, but it ain't going to stay that way. That's what I love. But listen, he says, they're going to be booted out. And they were booted out for a long time, and the land was desolate. Now, verse 29 is important. This is a verse you might want to highlight, underline, memorize, get in your heart. Check this out. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Do you understand that? There are things about God that we'll never understand. There's things about our world that we'll never get. Those belong to God. And you know, one of the greatest questions, why do good things happen to bad people, but why do bad things happen to good people? I don't know. Is God really in control? Absolutely. Then why did this happen? I don't know. I don't have a direct line to God. I can't like call him up and go, hey, Lord, kind of got a problem here. Could you solve this for me? Here's what he tells me. Read Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord. Listen, that's so important, because that'll let you rest your heart. And then he says this, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Let me put it to you a different way. Don't get all freaked out about what you don't know and can't understand. There's plenty that you can understand, and you need to be doing that. And you need to be focusing on that. And oftentimes, I believe we're kind of using a cop-out. Well, if God, and we plug it in. Warren Wiersbe put it this way. He said, it is not necessary to know God's secret, but check this out, but it is essential that we obey what the Lord has clearly revealed to us. That's what God is telling us. Obey me. He's not telling us to obey him because he's King of Kings. He's telling us to obey him so we can have a good life. I look at you guys here, you're on a midweek service, you're hanging out, coming to church on a midweek service, and you know, in a busy time of year. Why are you here? Because you want the best possible life. You want to know God. And God says, that's what it's all about. So do the things you know, and don't get so freaked out about the things you don't know. God is big. And I, for one, am glad that God is big. I, for one, am glad that I can't figure God out. Because if I could figure God out, then that would make me equal with God, and you guys would be in serious trouble. So we need to understand that. Listen, he says those secret things, and just hide that in your heart. You know what? And this is a great verse to tell some people when they want to get combative with you, and you know they want to do that thing. How come, if your God is, how come he would let this happen? I tell them, I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. Well, I could never worship a God like that. And they go, no, you'd rather worship yourself or materialism or some other bizarre thing. You worship something you understand far less than what you understand about God. So listen, that belongs to God. Now listen, Moses is telling them, because there's still, I think, some question in their hearts even. Yes, we did wrong, but yes, why are we out of the land? How long do we have to stay out of the land? What's going to happen? Now chapter 30, we have to tie that in here. He says, now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you. Here's what I love about Moses. He's like a straight up guy too. He doesn't say here, now it shall come to pass if these things come upon you. This is a very prophetic section. When these things come upon you. Here's what he knows. They're going to be turkeys. He says, when these things, it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity, and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. Here's what he's saying. It's going to happen. Not it might. It's going to happen. When it happens, God is going to bring you back. And here's the great thing. Notice he says from all of the nations. I don't think he's talking here just about that Babylonian captivity. Listen, they were kind of in one spot. They were taken captive, put in one spot, and kept in an area. I think he's talking about definitely the dispersion in 70 AD, way, way in the future. And he says, you're going to be scattered all over. And Jews were scattered all over the world. They weren't just in one part. They were everywhere. And the crazy thing is somehow they kept their Judaism. How on earth do you stay a nation outside of a nation scattered all over the world? How does that happen, God? And Moses says, God is going to seek you out. I love this, man. I love this thought about us. You know, and I understand this is Israel, but this is the heart of God. He's going to seek you out no matter where. Listen, he even says in verse 4, he says, if any of you are driven out to the furthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. He's saying God is going to look under every nook and every cranny. How cool is that? That's our God. Our God will search anywhere for us. You know what that tells me? There's nothing that you can do that God can't forgive in the blood of Jesus Christ. What a great God we have. And his heart is, I want to find you, and I need to find you, and I need to figure out where you're at. And I kind of have a picture of God like picking up trees and picking up rocks. Are you over there? And he's going to go get them, and he's going to gather them. He's going to bring them back. And you know what? They're turkeys. They're not good people. But God loves them. And he's going to bring them back. And as he does, listen, verse 5, then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he will prosper and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and that you may live. Listen, this is kind of crazy. Are you noticing? Are you noticing Moses is saying this is what God is going to do? God is going to find him. God is going to bring them back. God is going to give them a new heart. That's a good God, isn't it? He's saying, I don't care where you go, I'm going to gather you, and I'm going to bring you in. That's one reason why I'm thinking this might be the gathering. They're not coming back loving him, but once they get back, they're going to fall in love with him. He's going to circumcise their hearts. He's going to reveal himself to them. He's going to change them. And he says, we're going to get you all in, and we're going to do that. And then he says, "And the Lord your," or I'm sorry, verse 7, also the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you and who persecuted you. Now, here's what I know. That hasn't happened yet. Those who hated Israel and those who persecuted Israel have not gone through this stuff yet. But listen, I read this, and here's what I'm thinking. I don't want to be on that side of the fence either. I don't want to be an enemy of Israel. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the UN says. I don't even care what, you know, current administration policy is. I don't want to be on the other side of Israel. And people go, that's kind of crazy. Well, read your Bible. Read this passage right here. If you're an enemy, God is going to get you because they're his kids. You may not like them. You may not even agree with them. You may even not even like their policies. It doesn't matter. They're his kids. Do all of your neighbors like you? Most of you are going, yeah, my neighbors really like me. Why would you ask me that? So they're not perfect. We're not perfect. And he says, God is going to bring them, and God is going to bring the curses on their enemy. And then he says, in verse 8, and you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all of his commandments, which I command you today. You know, J. Vernon McGee had a great perspective on this. He said they didn't have to start obeying outside of the land. They just had to realize they'd messed up. Then they got in the land. Then they obey from that perspective. They obey from inside the land. It's kind of like us. We don't have to clean up to come to Jesus, but once we're in Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit in us, then he guides us and directs us, and he gives us that ability to follow him and that desire to love him and that desire to obey him. So he's saying the same thing here. You're going to come in. The Lord will do that. Verse 9, and the Lord your God will make you abound in the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the production of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord, your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, he says, man, it's going to go. You're going to turn to him. And when you do that, it's going to be incredible. Now, we might think, how do you do that? How on earth can you find God in the midst of chaos? I'm not just talking about Israel, I'm talking about anybody. God is promising them salvation. He told them, this is going to happen, you're going to be kicked out, but I'm going to save you. How do you do that? How do you find God in the midst of that? And verse 11 says, for this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. Check out what he says. It is not written in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. It's not a big mystery. Does that passage sound familiar? Those of you who don't read the Old Testament, I know some people think, why do you read the Old Testament? Because it's awesome, that's why. Does that sound familiar? In Romans chapter 10, Paul quotes this section of Scripture about us. You see, because God is not so high. Listen what Paul it's changed up a little bit, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word is near you. It's near you. And he says, listen, it's in your mouth and it's in your heart. And then Paul goes on to say that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses unto salvation. And he says, that's how it happens. Listen, it's not something we have to do. The greatest thing ever, God came to us. And let's celebrate that in a couple days. Greatest event in humanity. God left heaven and he came to us. We don't have to accomplish some great feat. We don't have to do some great thing. He says, it's near you. It's in your heart. Somebody recently, I was listening to Pastor's Perspective, somebody recently called in and said, I think it's very unbiblical when you tell people that they need to invite Jesus into their heart. Tell me in the Bible where it says that. Pastor Chuck quoted this passage. If you believe with your heart. You see, when we tell people that, we're not saying that Jesus is going to climb through your mouth and come to some organ. Talking about your heart, your seat of your emotions, you're inviting him into your life. You have to believe with your heart and confess with your mouth. And so Paul says, listen, Deuteronomy 30, here is all about salvation. It's about what God is going to do for Israel and even beyond Israel into our generation. And then now listen to what God says in verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Now just think about that again. Here's what God says. Look what I put in front of you. Do you want life and good? Or do you want death and evil? God says, I made it really clear. The great thing about our God is there's no tricks. He doesn't have like something up his sleeve. I tricked you. He like lays it all out. He goes, and especially the curses. Once again, if you weren't here last week, read Deuteronomy chapter 28. There's like 50-some verses dedicated to curses and like 10 to blessings, because God wants to make sure you totally understand what he's talking about. And he says, here's what I've set before you. Life and good or death and evil. You can choose. And then he says, listen, verse 16, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and you are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish, and you shall not prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God, in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and to possess. God says it's pretty simple. It's this or that, one or the other, and it's the same in our generation. It's not that complicated. And people will tell me, oh, come on, man, that Bible stuff. Who wants to believe in a Bible? Who wants to believe in those Bible-thumping Christians? And, you know, you hear all of that stuff. And I think it gets, you know, I think it gets a little bit ridiculous. John Corson said it this way. What a great way to put it. If you're driving along in a city late at night and you run out of gas, you're in a seedy area of town. Get out of your car and you're walking to the gas station. And you're looking around. It gets a little freaky out there, right? And all of a sudden, four big old gnarly guys are following you. Do you want them to be four guys who just walked out of a bar? Or do you want them to be four guys who just came from a Bible study? Yeah, everybody loves the Bible at that point, huh? You need to think about that, because that's what God is saying here. He goes, which do you want? Do you want the thugs or you want the people following after God? It's kind of crazy, isn't it? That's not a real hard. Listen, I read this and I go, wow, how come we don't get it? I'm not saying why don't they get it. I'm saying why don't we get it? Why don't we understand when God says don't do that, it's going to destroy you? We go, really? Can I do it just a little bit? Can I do it till it just hurts? No, you can't. God says, why would you want that? So I'm going to keep that image of gnarly heavy-duty dudes following me, and I'm going to be wanting them to come from a Bible study. And you keep that in mind, and God says, listen, this is what you do if you turn your hearts and you hear and you're drawn away. And then verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God and that you may obey his voice and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Do you kind of get the idea that God, and I don't mean this in an irreverent way, but do you kind of get the idea? He's like pleading. I read this, and God, please choose life. Why? Why would he do that? Because he loves us. Unconditionally. I, again, think Deuteronomy is one of the greatest love books in the Bible. There's way too many people read Deuteronomy and go, I don't like all the laws. I don't like all the cursing. I don't like all the, like, funky stuff. Do you hear God's heart? God says, why do I tell you about all those curses? Because I love you. And he's saying, please, please choose life. Don't choose death. What's the matter with you? And he's not talking about physical. He's talking about, why are you going to go through all of the pain and the misery and the suffering? You don't think I know the best? You don't think I've already mapped this out? You don't think I have it together? Choose that. And he's sure he's talking to the nation of Israel, but he's talking to us. Choose life today. And you and I have, again, the great opportunity of walking by faith. And you know, we have a God who's shown us grace and pulled us out of that stuff. And you know what? Out of the muck and the mire, why on earth do we put our feet back in it? Because we're just like Israel. We're fickle. And you know what? Even if he would fill in the blank, wouldn't stop you. Because it's an issue of the heart. And so you and I need to spend some time getting our hearts in the right place. Why do we, at this time of year, really start pushing the Bible reading thing? Listen, we want you guys to read your Bibles. We want you to be in them. Why? Because that will change our lives, and that will bless us. And that will give us the strength to stand when that temptation comes. And all Moses is telling these people here is, trust God, believe him, and choose life, and go in and possess the land. Hallelujah, huh? Let's stand up and pray. Father, we do thank you. Lord, we thank you for the passage. We thank you for this section of scripture that, Lord, that challenges us. And Lord, frankly, is an area that makes us think. And God, just as Israel went through time of being out of the land and separation and, Lord, a whole bunch of pain, a whole bunch of hurt, a whole bunch of aggravation. Jesus, I know we do the same things when we don't follow you. When we choose our own way and figure we know better. So God, I pray that we could take this tonight as a great warning. And Lord, that in our hearts, Lord, we would give you all of our heart, not just part of it, not just pieces of it, but all of it. And we would learn to trust you. Even as we're going to look at this weekend, that we'd learn it's walking by faith. And putting faith in a great God, not in our own abilities, not in things we've, you know, even learned intellectually, but putting faith in a God that we've come to know and come to trust. Thank you, God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving Israel. Thank you for writing this down to challenge us and to draw us to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, let's